Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Lamed Vav. We are on Lamed Hamed Beis. We are starting at the two dots. Rabbi Shimon Omer Huchter B'Shchita. We are going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah takes us all the way back to daf Lamed Gimel. We spent a lot of time talking about the sugyas of Tumah Tahara, because the Mishnah mentions how you can, if the animal dies bloodless, so the animal is not Muchshel L'Kabel Tumah, and therefore, being that the animal is impervious to Tumah, so you can eat the animal even if your hands are a shein l'tuma. And we spent only but 3 days in the Gemara discussing that point in the Mishnah. That was Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, and Lamed Hey for the most part. The end of the Mishnah brings up the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that hukshara b'shchita. Do you know how the animal becomes hukshara l'kabel tuma? So it does so with the act of shchita. Let's be very clear. When we're talking about being machshir, so that means as follows. Food does not have an ability to become susceptible to tumah until it comes into contact with one of the seven liquids. Pasuk in the Torah, Pasuk actually we're going to be going over a little bit later this morning, tells us that only when a liquid, a mashke, falls onto one of these foods, then the food becomes mukhshir l'kabel tumah. So why should that be? So the answer is very simple, because the Torah says so. But can we gain some even better understanding of that? So perhaps, and I'm going to show you Rashi a little bit later this morning as well, where Rashi says that basically what happens is as follows, that before you wash the food, you can't eat it, and after you wash the food, now it's edible. Now that's a nice svara, and I like this svara, but if you think about what some of those seven mashkim are, I'm not sure if you're really interested in eating a food after it comes into contact with all seven of the liquids. Honey, dew, blood, milk, okay, oil. Okay, so I do like the svara in general. It works well for water. I understand it doesn't work so well with the other liquids as well. So it's a svara. It's not a, in other words, machshir works because the Torah says that's how a food becomes susceptible to tumah, only through hechshir. And that means, I'm making a point which is obvious now, that means that before a food is mukhshir l'kabel tumah, the food is simply impervious to tumah. It does not become tumah. It's incapable of becoming tameh. You could take something which is tameh, a source of tumah, come into contact with the food, and the food simply will not become tameh because it has not yet received hechsher. Only after hechsher is the food now susceptible to becoming tameh. Rabbi Shimon has a really interesting opinion as it relates to the meat of an animal, and that is it's not the liquid which is going to be machsher, or let me be more specific. It's not the blood coming out of the animal which is going to be machsher, but rather it's the act of shechita itself. The shechita itself is going to be a machshir. Now, when Rabbi Shimon made his statement that shechita is a machshir, did he mean to the exclusion of the blood, or did he mean in addition to the blood? Now, if you think about our Mishnah is not telling on this matter, because our Mishnah is describing a most unusual scenario where you shechted the animal and no blood came out. So, curiosity. It's not just a curiosity. The Gemara is about to discuss it. I'm foreshadowing the upcoming Gemara. So let's say blood did come out of the animal, meaning, i.e., it's a regular shechita where blood came out. Does that mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, now we have two machshirin, two ways that the animal now has become mukhshir l'kabel tumah? One is the act of shechita, and two is the blood that came out. So is the blood of shechita going to be a machshir, according to Rabbi Shimon? If left to my own devices, I would have said yes. That's what I would have said, but the Gemara, obviously, is the first source on this topic. So Rabbi Shimon Amar Hukshur B'Shchita Amar Rav Asi Omer Haya Rabbi Shimon Shchita Samachsheres V'lo Dam. So Rav Asi said his understanding of Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon says that Shchita Samachsher to the exclusion of the blood that comes out during Shchita. Blood that comes out during Shchita, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not a Machsher, but it's only the act of Shchita itself which is serving as a Machsher. And the Gemara goes on to explain this.
He's saying that blood is not one of the liquids?
No. So stay tuned. Much to uncover over here. So let's see. So Leimim Misayele Rabbi Shimon Amar Hukshur B'Shchita. So the Gemara now wants to know if we can make diukim in the Mishnah that lead us to the conclusion. So for example, the Mishnah said Rabbi Shimon Amar Hukshur B'Shchita Ma'ala B'Shchita V'lo B'Dam. So lo af B'Shchita. So the Gemara says, look, if it were just for the Mishnah by itself, the Mishnah itself is not revelatory on this issue. Because the Mishnah just simply says that Shechita is a Machshir, but it could mean, the way to understand the Mishnah could just simply be, even Shechita is a Machshir. Meaning, of course, the blood that comes out is a Machshir, but so is the act of Shechita itself. So from the Mishnah itself, I don't have any clarity on this issue. Tashma Amar Lam Rabbi Shimon V'chi Adam Machshir V'lo Shechita Machshiris. So the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. The Rabbi Shimon says to the Chachamim, you think Dam is a Machshir? Shechita is a Machshir. So again, if all I had was that line, that dialogue between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, sounds like shechita to the exclusion of dam. So achi kamar lehem v'chi dam belvad machshir, al shechita nami machsheres. So again, a rereading of that line could just simply lead us to the conclusion that now you misunderstood. It does not mean that Rabbi Shimon was saying to them that shechita is the only way to be machshir. What he meant is shechita is also a way to be machshir. Tashma.
The only difference would be there is no blood.
Right, correct. Correct. The nafkamina would be in the case where there'd be no blood. Tashma. Rabbi Shimon Amar Dam Hames Eino Machshir. So we turn our attention to a Mishnah Machshirin. The Mishnah Machshirin now describes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, where he says that the Dam Hames is not a Machshir. So my love Hadam Shchita Machshir. Now, Dam Hames, what is Dam Hames? So the way Rashi describes it over here. And for the duration of today's daf, we are going to be going with Rashi. Meaning Rashi over here is understanding that the Mishnah Machshirim is talking about mace not being a human, but mace being an animal. So dama mace, what is a mace? So Rashi explains over here, an animal that died without the benefit of not just shechita, but in other words, it died on its own. In other words, it was not killed. So the blood of an animal that died on its own is not a machshir. Now, lechora, what does that mean to exclude? So, presumably, what it means is, hadam shechita machshir. Meaning that if you shechted the animal, meaning you killed the animal, so that blood is a machshir. So the Gemara says, lo, hadam chalala machshir. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what he meant. He meant dam chalalam is machshir. Meaning, and this now cuts to what, Phil, you asked me earlier. Of course, Rabbi Shimon counts blood as one of the seven liquids. Rabbi Shimon is not in argument, not in disagreement over what the seven liquids are. The seven liquids seem to be undisputed. There is no debate in terms of what they are. It's just a question of the definition, and specifically in our case over here, the definition of what kind of blood is serving as a machshir. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that the only blood that is a machshir is that dam chalalim. We're going to quote a pasuk a little bit later on to explain the basis for the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But dam chalalim, what is dam chalalim? An animal that was killed by a human, but not through the method of shechita. It's really, really limited. Meaning that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only blood that comes out of an animal that's serving as a machshir is only an animal that was killed, but not through shechita. That means, if the animal died on its own, the blood of such an animal is not a machshir. If the animal was killed through shechita, that blood also is not going to be a machshir. So it's very specifically dam chalalim. And again, the pasuk, the Gemara is going to quote later on. Ava dam shechita mai lo, machshir? So the Gemara says, then what does that mean? So that means that dam shechita is not a machshir. Interesting. If I was writing the Mishnah in Machshirin, and I wanted to write what the biggest chiddush would be, what do you think the biggest chiddush would be? That dam mace is not a machshir? Write a bigger chiddush according to Rabbi Shimon. Dam shechita is not a machshir. That's the biggest chiddush. So lishmin and dam shechita v'koshigin dam mace. So the Gemara says, so if the Mishnah in Machshirin were to be writing the biggest chiddush, and as we say this time and again, it's one of the most fundamental principles about Mishnayos, and that is that we expect and assume that a Mishnah is going to be writing the biggest chiddush. It's not going to just simply give us information, but it's going to give us the pinnacle of the information. So therefore, the Mishnah is writing the biggest chiddush. Let the Mishnah write that according to Rabbi Shimon, dam shechita is not a machshir, presumably that's the biggest chiddush. So the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. I can argue that dam hames is just as big a chiddush. Dam hames is tzurich leisag das chamina mali katli iu mali katli malachamavis. Kamash malan. Because if the Mishnah didn't write dam hames, here's what I would have argued, and it's a very sound argument. The animal's dead. Blood is now coming out of that animal. What difference does it make? What's the cause of death? Meaning I killed it or the malachamavis killed it? What difference does it make? If the animal's dead, the blood that comes out from that animal is going to be a machshir. I don't see a difference between the two. And so therefore, that's why the Mishnah had to write dam hames in order to disavow us of such an argument. Tashma, the Gemara says, well, why don't we consider the following? Rabbi Shimon Omer, dam magefaso eino machshir. What about blood that comes out of a wound? So in other words, you wound an animal, you just simply puncture an animal. It's not dying, just simply blood is coming out as a function of, it's just simply a wound. So it's not going to be a machshir. That is another, now it's a Mishnah, I'm not sure, it's a Braisa. Unclear in terms of where the source of this is. Obviously it's Tana Edik, and it's quoting the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So my love, hadam shechita machshir. And again, with the assumption that we're giving now the biggest chiddush, that would mean that only because it's a wound and the animal's still alive, it's not a machshir. as long as whatever you're doing is going to kill the animal, i.e. shechita, that would be a machshir, meaning that blood would be a machshir. And again, the Gemara says, lo, hadam chalal machshir. So the Gemara says, nope, that's not the right diuk. The right diuk is, it's dam chalalim, an animal that was killed just not through shechita. Avadam shechita mai lo machshir, lishmin dam shechita v'koshekein dam megabasto. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, why wouldn't the Braiser or the Mishnah write the following? It's very straightforward. Just simply tell me that the dam shechita is not a machshir and we would have figured it out. If dam shechita is not a machshir, so the dam magefa, the blood of a wound, is also not going to be a machshir. Shechita obviously represents a bigger chiddush. If I'm shechting the animal and doing so, killing the animal, and that blood is not a machshir, well, certainly the blood of a wound is not going to be a machshir as well. And again, let me just finish the Gemara's point. And again, the Gemara says not necessarily. So the Gemara says, but again, over here, I could have had made the following argument. What difference does it make how much of the animal I kill? I kill all the animal, I take all the life out of the animal, or mali kale palge, or I take some of the life of the animal. When an animal is wounded and some blood has come out, it's a partial misa. Now I know we don't, in misa, it's kind of binary, either you're dead or you're not dead, but the Gemara says, katli palga. But still, blood coming out, that is life coming out of the animal, life force coming out of the animal, and the argument you can make is, what's the difference? And so therefore, the Gemara has to go out of its way. That's why the Mishnah has to go out of its way and tell us that according to Rabbi Shimon, dam magapaso is not going to be a machshir. Okay, so where do we stand right now? In a really, really strange place for Rabbi Shimon in terms of what blood is going to be a machshir. And actually, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's extraordinarily limited. Dam of a shechita is not a machshir. Dam of a magefa, of a wound, is not a machshir. Dam hames, the animal dies on its own, is not going to be a machshir. According to Rabbi Shimon, only one blood extracted, drawn out of an animal is going to be a machshir, and that's dam chalalim. That's only when the animal is killed, just not through shechita. That is the only blood, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's serving as a machshir. Okay.
Just because the Gemara says dam chalalim is machshir, but we already know from before that dam chalalim is machshir.
No, but we're just making diyukim in the...
Because one
is excluding the dam hames, and the other one is excluding dam magefa. And I could have made arguments in either way. In other words, had the Braisa not mentioned both, I could have made arguments in either way. Yes?
How does Rabbi Shimon come to the conclusion that Dam Hames is a Machshir because it's in the Vela? It's not even a fool.
Okay, but that's fine. But in other words, but the blood that comes out of his blood? Meaning you're right. But we're not talking about something we're going to consume. We're talking about it presenting itself as a liquid, so that when it comes into contact with the food, it'll be machshir liquid. You're right, meaning we can't eat the blood under any circumstance. We can't eat the blood. All the bloods that we just described right now, for us, are usser. We're not talking about achila, we're talking about them serving as a machshir. And as serving as a machshir, obviously, after the blood goes onto the food, and the food now is mukshir l'kapal tuma, if you and I want to eat the food, obviously we're going to have to wash the food. In other words, we're going to have to take off the blood. But in other words, we're just talking about the blood's being a machshir.
From the beginning of the Mishnah, it seems to indicate that you're talking about the blood that comes out when you do shechita.
Yes.
And then Rabbi Shimon comes and all of a sudden says, no, that's not all the time.
No, Rabbi Shimon's just simply saying that shechita is the machshir, and not the blood.
Not the blood
that comes out. The blood. Not the blood of shechita. The blood of shechita is not a machshir. And again, why? Right now we don't know. I mean, we're going to see in just a moment. It's going to be based on psukim. Okay, I'm not going to be able to present it from a rational standpoint, from a logical standpoint. The Gemara is going to be based on psukim. We haven't even seen it yet.
Hechshir blood is only by animal or the
human being? Rashi right now, the entire sugya, our sugya Rashi says is talking about animal. It could be that it could be by humans as well. Tosus, which I avoided, Tosus says that our sugya is also talking about humans. The Mishnah Mechshim is talking about human blood as well. But I just stick with Rashi. That's my general mahalach in presenting the daf. So that's what we're going to do today, as I try to do every day. So the Gemara says Malik Halikula Malik Halipale Page Umayshan Dam Chalom Demachshir. So as we are in the bottom of Laman Hamid Beis, and the Gemara now asks the question, which really is the question. So what's the difference? Meaning, okay, so now you kill the animal. What difference does it make whether I kill it via shechita, not via shechita? Like, I don't understand. So Maishan Dam Chalam Damachshir Dichsiv Dam Chalal Nishtem. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to turn to Parshas Balak. And in the Parsha, so Bilam, who was asked to curse the Jews, does just the opposite. He blesses the Jews. He benches the Jewish people. And in doing so, so one of the things that he says in a complimentary way is that, you know, the Jews are going to face their enemies, conquer their enemies, and they're going to also Dam Chalal Mishta. Now, at the simplest level, by the way, it seems a little bit rough. But the take a look at the Mefarshim over there in the Pasuk. It just simply means that we're gonna conquer and we're gonna take the spoils. And you know, obviously the Pasuk is not meant literally. However, what we're gonna be doing now, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that we're gonna take the Pasuk and we're gonna understand it on the level of Drasha. And that means to say that Dam Chalal Mishteh, that means that only a certain type of blood is going to have the status of mashke, of being a liquid. And that is Dam Chalalim, the blood of an animal. Now, by the way, mind you, this is why, right, earlier we talked about it, we're talking about the blood of animal, we're talking about the blood of people. The Pasuk in the context is talking about the Chalra people, not animals. But okay, but anyway. The Vadam Chalalim Yishta, Dam Shchita, Namik Siv, Alar, Tishbechenu Kamayim. So the Gemara says, okay, Psukim, okay, really, Psukim. So I got a Pasuk for you. The Torah says, Alar, Tishbechenu Kamayim, that when you have the blood of the of an animal in general, the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. So what we're supposed to do with it is spill it on the ground, kamayim, like water. So that means this, and that obviously is talking about an animal that I shechted. So an animal that I shechted, l'arz tishbechenu kamayim, you pour it on the ground like water. We know what is the principal liquid, which is a machshir, mayim, and the Torah equates the blood of shechita to that of mayim. So you have a pasuk for your dam chalalim. I also have a pasuk for my dam of shechita. What's the difference? The Gemara says no. Ahu lemishrei damim depsulam mukdashim bahana hu daasa. No, that pasuk you just quoted me from Parshas Re'eh. That serves as a different purpose. Specifically, that's there to tell me that the blood of an animal which was a carbon developed a blemish. I redeemed it. It now halachically is called psulei hamukdashim. Which means now that I'm allowed to eat it without bringing it as a carbon, but it is restricted. There are a lot of restrictions regarding that. And Stalka Das Chamin, as we now turn to the top of Lamed Vav Amad Alv, I might have thought, Hov Asir Begiza Vavoda. And the two basic restrictions regarding Psula Hamukdashim is you cannot shear it and you cannot work it. So we already know that this animal is highly regulated, highly restricted. So therefore, I might have thought that the only thing I'm allowed to do with that animal is eat the meat of that animal. I'm not allowed to shear it. I'm not allowed to work it. And included in that, I might have thought that I'm not allowed to get the benefit from the blood. Now, obviously, we can't eat the blood, but to get benefit from the blood. No. The Havamina would have been that you can't use it for fertilizer. Oh. You can't use it for dyeing. In other words, you can't get any benefit from the blood whatsoever. That's the Havamina. So therefore, Vasir begins of avoda daman li baye kvura. So I might have thought that what we should do with the blood is just simply bury it, totally discard it, not get any benefit from it. So kamash malan. So that's what the pasuk is coming to teach me. Ar tishbechenu kamayim. That no, that you pour the blood on the ground like water, meaning just like water is mutar bahana, so too the blood is also going to be mutar bahana. Okay, and so therefore the pasuk of al arz tishbechenu kamayim is used for a totally different drasha. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, we're left with only one pasuk, dam chalal mishta. And from that pasuk, Rabbi Shimon now generates his opinion that only the blood of chalalim is going to be a machshir. All other blood is not going to be a machshir. Not dam agefa, not dam mace, not dam shchita. None of those blood serves as a machshir, only dam chalalim. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara just told us that, what was the Havamina? That we know that just like by Psula Mugdashim, I'm not allowed to shear it, and I'm not allowed to work it. So therefore, the Havamina would have been, I'm not allowed to gain any benefit from the blood that comes out from that animal. So it's interesting, Tosfos points out over here, think about it for a moment. The Isser of Giza, I'm not allowed to shear an animal that was once a carbon, but now developed a blemish, and then I redeemed it. So I'm not allowed to shear that animal. And what would happen if I shear that animal? Does that mean to say that now the shearings are going to be Usser? In other words, there's an Isser of Giza, I'm not allowed to shear it. But once shorn, am I allowed to benefit from that? So Tosfos says, actually you are. So then, if that's true, says Tosfos, so then I don't understand. So what was the havamina? I can't benefit from the blood. Wait one second. I'm not allowed to shear the animal, but once the animal's shorn, so then I could benefit from the shearings. So if that's true, then what was the havamina that I can't get benefit from the blood? All right, so see Tosfos who's bothered by that very question. Tosfos suggests an answer. See the top Tosfos for that particular discussion. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. We're on Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph for two lines down. Tanda be Rabbi Shmuel v'dam chalon yishteh prat l'dam kiluach sheino machshir sazroim. So according to the Brisa Rabbi Shmuel, also learning from the pasuk of dam chalon yishteh, that it has to be blood that is where the life is exiting from the animal, as opposed to dam kiluach. Now, what does that mean as opposed to dam kiluach? So Rashi explains over here as follows. If what you're doing is that you are puncturing the animal so that the blood is going to come out of the animal, so the life, the total life of the animal is not taken away from the animal at the beginning of the puncturing. The way Rashi describes it is as follows. You puncture an animal. Now, let's say you get a good shot of the animal. Again, we're not talking about shechita. So you get a good space, a good spot in the animal. You hit a good artery, a major artery, and now blood starts coming out. That blood that first comes out, the way Rashi describes it, it's really red. It's a bright red. It's not coming out like in heavy spurts. So that blood that comes out, that's what's called dam kiluach. That is not dam hanefesh. That blood is not going to be a machshir. It's only, Rashi explains, where the later blood that comes out, a little bit darker in its coloring, it's coming out in a stronger force, only that blood is going to be serving as a machshir. That's the way Rashi explains Rabbi Shmuel. Tan debei Rabbi Shmuel v'dam chalom yishteh prat l'dam kiluach sheino machshir sazroim. Tan Rabban, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Hashochev v'hitis dam al ha-dela'as. Let's say you shecht and blood now splatters onto a dela'as, right? Something that grows close to the ground. We normally describe as a gourd, right? It's a melon, a pumpkin, whatever. Something that grows low to the ground. So Rabbi Omer Huchsha, Rabbi Chia Omer Tolan. Now, a couple points regarding this gourd. One, this particular gourd in question is truma. Two, same point, just it's Rashi. It's detached from the ground. It has to be detached from the ground. Meaning if it's connected to the ground, it's not subject to Tumah at all. So in other words, and also you can't take off Maestros and Trumas and Maestros if it's connected to the ground. So it's detached from the ground. It was already Mufrash, which means now it's already Truma. And now blood gets on it. Now once your blood gets on it, so that's going to be a Machshir, right? Not exactly. So Tanu Rabbanan, Ashoche, let's say you shecht an animal in the field, and some of the blood now splatters on this gourd that's on the ground, that's detached, and it's set aside as truma. Is it now going to be mukhsha l'kabel tumah? So, v'hitas dam al delas, Rabbi Omer huchsha, so Rabbi says yes. And Rabbi Chia Omer tolan. And Rabbi Chia says, well, not yet. Or, to be translated the Gemara a little more literally, we're going to wait, suspend it. Now, I'm Rabbi Yoshi Amayachash, Rabbi Amar Huchsha, Rabbi Chia Amar Tolin. So now Rabbi Yoshi has a really interesting conclusion. So let's go over our two opinions right now. The blood of a shechted animal splattered onto a truma gourd on the ground, and so now Rabbi says it's Muchsha. Rabbi Chia says, well, not yet. Please wait. So, well, not yet. So, Anu Almi Nismoch. So, what are we supposed to do? So, Ba'ovin is Mochel de Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so we're going to go to door number three. And that is, we'll go to Rabbi Shimon. And Shaya Rabbi Shimon Amar Shechita Machshiras V'lo Dam. Because that we know that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Shechita, the act of Shechita is a Machshir, but not the blood. Okay, now, that was a very strange Brisa. Meaning, in the Brisa recorded two opinions, Rabbi and Rabbi Chia. Rabbi says that the blood of Shechita is a Machshir. Rabbi Chia says suspended, which we don't even know what that means yet, but suspended. And then Rabbi Yoshia says, well, I have Rabbi Shita and I have Rabbi Chia Shita, so what do I do? Door number three. So we'll go to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that the blood is not a machshir, so therefore it's not a machshir. Okay, it's a really, really strange brisa. Like, how do we make sense of the brisa? So the Gemara is going to do so in one of two different ways. Amar Rav Papa. So we go with... Yeah.
For any liquid to be
mashed,
no, Rashi says Tlusha.
Yeah. For any liquid to be mashed to him, right?
the person has to desire that liquid to be on that up.
Yes.
On that.
Yes.
So why would a person want to have blood on their gourd?
Okay.
Like, I mean, if it's not desired.
Yeah. I hear you.
It's not necessary for the blood for anything. It's not necessary that the blood of the goat should be larutzai. If you remember how this started with Tuval Yudoi, that when he went after it to fish out the parents that fell in the Ava, that's not. But he wanted to wash his.
Okay.
He wanted to wash his hands, not to put water on the
pain. But Ben is right, though. In other words.
My question is, what is the scenario that somebody would like to have blood?
Okay, yeah, there has to be ratzon. He's right. Okay, I don't know. It's a good question. I'm a Rav Papa. So we're just going to try to make heads and tails now of this brisa that we just learned together. So let's give it a try. We're going to give it two tries. So I'm a Rav Papa. So the Gemara starts off with one approach, that of Rav Papa. Hakom odim echad yisal adam itchil v'atzof. Kol le'amol apli demachshir keep demachshir. So as far as the shitas of Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya are concerned, again, leave Rebbe Shimon aside for a moment. As far as Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya are concerned, it actually goes like this. It's very straightforward. Dam shchita is a machshir, but you need the totality of the shchita. Now remember, shchita is the cutting of shnei simanim. So I need the totality of the shchita. So, and in such a regard, if in other words, if it was a full shchita, Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya both agree that this blood is going to be a machshir. Ki pligi b'niskanech adam bein simon l'simon. In other words, what happens as follows is that you went for the first simon of the animal, so now you shechted halfway through. The blood that comes out now is coming out from an animal that is partially shechted. Okay? And now what happens is that blood came onto the gourd, and quickly you wipe that blood off. So now it's the blood of an animal that was partially shechted. Is that blood considered dam shechita? Well, it depends. Rebbe Savi Yeshna Shchita Mitchila V'Yatzov V'Hai Dam Shchita Hi. So we go back to now a basic machlokas that we introduced ourselves to about a week ago in the daf, as to whether or not the entire act of the shchita is considered status-wise has a status of shchita. That's Yeshna Shchita Mitchila V'Yatzov, and the other position is no. Einol Shchita Ela B'Sof. Shchita is only at the very end. Now you'll remember it's a machlokas between Rebbe Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we had earlier in this perek. It was in the beginning of the parak. And now what the Gemara is telling us is that the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya, who, by the way, are Tanayim, are predicated on these viewpoints. According to Rebbe, who subscribes to the idea of Yeshna Shchita Mitzchila V'Yatzof, so that means that even the first half is considered a Maisa Shchita, which means that the dam that comes out is dam Shchita. Whereas Rebbe Chiya says no. Rebbe Chiya says, V'ein lo Shchita ala besof. V'hai dam maka hu. So, and Rebbe Chiya says no. He subscribes to the viewpoint that shechita is only at the very end. So therefore, when you cut the first pipe, what is that blood that comes out? Dam makeh, not dam shechita. So now, according to Rebbe Chiya, what does it mean, tolin? He explains beautifully. My tolin, davar ad gemar shechita, yisal adam besof shechita machshir, v'ilo lo machshir. Tolin just simply means we're going to wait till the end of the shechita. Because if the blood that comes out at the end of the shechita now were to land on the gourd, so then it's going to be a machshir. Otherwise, it's not going to be a machshir. Good. So Rav Papa now has explained the shitas of Rebbe and Rebbe Chiya and done so beautifully based on the machlokas of Yeshna Shechita Mitzchila V'Tzof or Einu L'Shechita Ela B'Sof. Now comes along Rebbe Oshia in the Braisa, and he now states the following. Umay bav v'nismach adiv Rabbi Shimon, le Rabbi Shimon lo machshir, le Rabbi Chiya machshir, b'nizkaneach miyu, ashva la'adad, emar lo machshir, mar lo machshir. Hava le Rabbi Chad v'ein dvar v'sha'acha b'makum shnayim. And now let's think this through. If the blood only came from the animal after the first pipe was cut, but not the second one, so now let's take stock. Let's now have a count in terms of who's going to say that blood is a machshir? Rebbe says the blood is a machshir. Good. Rebbe Chiya says it's not a machshir because, again, according to Rebbe Chiya, einu l'shchita ela b'sof. So this is not dam shchita, this is dam makeh. He's going to say it's not a machshir. What about the opinion of Rebbe Shimon? Rebbe Shimon also says it's not a machshir. Now, even if it were a full shchita, Rebbe Shimon would say it's not a machshir. So what do I have over here? He's just simply basically counting opinions. I got Rebbe saying it's a machshir, Rebbe Chiya saying it's not, Rebbe Shimon saying it's not. It's 2-1. So now, in terms of the opinions, even though Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chiya are not principled on the same halachic points, Nevertheless, they both agree to the conclusion that it's not a machshir. So therefore, two saying it's not a machshir, one saying it is a machshir. That's why Rabbi Yoshia says we're going to side with Rabbi Shimon. Not just simply because it's door number three, but it's Rabbi Shimon coupled together with Rabbi Chia. That is one shot in the Braisa. The Gemara is going to give it offer a second shot. Rava, I'm sorry, Rav Ashi Amar, Tolan La'olam, Mashma. So when Rabbi Chia in the Braisa said Tolan, it doesn't mean we're going to wait until the end of Shechita. It means that it is left in suspension period. Indefinite suspension. We don't know the halacha indefinitely in terms of whether or not the Dam Shechita is a machshir or not a machshir. And the Gemara goes on to explain according to Rav Ashi. How come? So, tolin la'ola mashma. Tolin means indefinite suspension. Eminiskanech le'Rebbe Chia, meaning, again, the case is the same case. You shecht it halfway through, you only cut one simon, the blood spurred out onto the gourd, and you wipe the blood off. So now it's blood that came on a partially shechted animal. Blood that came from a partially shechted animal. Now, as far as Rabbi Chia is concerned, he straddles between the two opinions of Yesh L'Shechita Mitzchila V'Yatzof or Ein L'Shechita Ela B'Sof. And because he straddles between these two opinions, he literally now does not know. Was this Dam Shechita or was it just Dam Makeh? Good. So the Sifuki Mesafka Yeshna Shriya Mitchel Vetsofa and Lushitala Besof. Umay Tolan Lochlan Velo Sorfin. So now we're gonna eat the Truma? No, because the Truma may have undergone a Hechsher. Am I gonna burn it, which is what you're supposed to do with Truma that becomes Tameh? No, don't burn it as well. Because I don't know definitively that it was Mukhshir Lakabal Tuma. So we're not gonna eat it, we're not gonna burn it, and that's what's called indefinite suspension. And now, again, now, what are we doing at the end of the Braisa where Rav Oshia says, well, I don't know where to go. Oh, you know what? We'll rely on Rabbi Shimon. Door number three. So how do you understand that? So he goes on to explain. L'Rabbi Shimon, lo machshir l'Rabbi Chia, sfeika l'inyan streifa, miyushava l'adadi marlo sarfe. So look, so what Rabbi Oshia is saying is, there is common ground, meaning Rabbi Chia will say, don't burn it. Rabbi Shimon would also say, don't burn it. Now, truth of the matter is, Rabbi Shimon says, it's not machshir at all. But we're looking at the common ground. They both agree, we're not going to burn it. So, we are just simply now going to take the combined positions of Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon, even though it's not the same opinion, but at least they have the common ground of they're both not going to burn it, and so therefore going to side with them. And that's what Rav Oshia meant, that in such a situation, we're not going to eat it, we're not going to burn it, period, adkan. Okay, so, in the Braisa of what happens when the blood of Shechita falls onto the gourd, so we have now, it's an unusual Braisa. It brings in the opinions of Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Oshia says, therefore we're going to go with Rabbi Shimon. And we have just now offered two pshatim in the Braisa, but one by Rav Papa and a second pshat by Rav Ashi. We continue in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph.
One question. Regarding what the Ben said, why blood is one of the seven when it's never desired?
The why questions are wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful.
No, but we're saying that it has to be desired.
Yes, I understand. Blood back then was, blood back then had a lot of wonderful effects. Okay. By Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Shrishol Menachos Monibo Rishon V'Sheni Oein Monibo Rishon V'Sheni. Okay, this question should sound familiar. We did this actually not that long ago in Menachos. I know we're already a month into the Masechta, so it's been over a month ago, but not much more than a month ago. So at the end of Menachos, we asked this very question, and here we are now. We have a mincha, and let's assume right now that there are pockets of flour with no oil. Now, obviously, we want a distribution of the oil to go throughout all the flour. But let's say there are packets of unoiled flour. So that means I have particles of flour and that is sitting now in the Kli Sharis. And so now we know it's as follows. In order for the flour to become Tameh, it has to have received Hechsher. So that means that if the oil comes into contact with it, oil is of course one of the seven liquids, and that will serve as a Machsher. But it happens to be that there are particles of flour that did not come into contact with oil. Good. So it's not Mukhshir L'Kabal Tumah, right? No. It is Mukhshir L'Kabal Tumah. Why? Based on a principle that we've gone over numerous times, and that's what's called Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh is the idea that when something is a karban, just by virtue of the fact that it is a karban, so therefore it is going to be Mukshala Kabotuma because of the love that we have, the chiba that we have for anything which is Kodesh. Now, Chibas HaKodesh may operate on a Doraisa level. That we're going to be discussing at the end of today's daf. Whether this idea that Chibas HaKodesh serves as a machshir is operating on a Doraisa level or is it a Durabana level. So, it's Tzir Shom Menachos, Monei Bo Rishon V'Sheni, or Ein Monei Bo Rishon V'Sheni. Good. So now it's Mukshul HaKabal Tumah. How? Not through the standard coming into contact with a mashka, but based on the principle of Chibas HaKodesh. When something becomes Mukshul HaKabal Tumah, operating through Chibas HaKodesh, does it now have the standard rules of Tumah Tahara? The first particle now, if it comes into contact with Tumah, is a Rishon. When it touches the next particle, that's going to be a Sheni. When it touches the next particle, that's going to be a Shlishi, etc., etc. Now, being that it's Kodesh, it can go up to Revi. Does it operate with the same rules or no? Maybe Chibas HaKodesh creates susceptibility to Tumah, but only so that it becomes Tameh, not that it operates with the same rules and regulations of standard Hechsher, had to come into contact with a liquid. So Ein Monei Bo Rishon V'Sheni Kima Han Yechibas HaKodesh, and the Gemara spells out the question. Kima Han Yechibas HaKodesh Lav Sula Gufei. So as far as disqualifying it, so that's where Chibas HaKodesh kicks in. But Lememne Bo Rishon V'Sheni Lo. But not so that it could count now first degree Tumah, second degree Tumah, meaning the regular rules, the basic rules of Tumah Tara. Odom Aloshna, or maybe no. Maybe Chibas HaKodesh creates Hechsher to the same degree that your standard liquid would create Hechsher. I'm a Rav Elazar Tashma. So Rav Elazar says, well, I think I know the answer, based on the following. The Pasuk says, and this is the Pasuk now that describes Hechsher. Mikol Ochel Sher Ye'achel. So from any food that is eaten, that is consumed, Ochel Haba B'mayim Hechsher, Ochel She'enu Ba B'mayim Lo Hechsher. So food that comes into contact with water is going to be Hechsher. Food that comes into contact with water is not going to be Hechsher. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You think for a moment that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish, you think he disagrees with that point? Meaning, that's a starting point of Hechsher. Everyone agrees to that. Out to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Leisle Ochel Haba B'mayim, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Hachi Kami Baile, Chibas HaKodesh Ka'ochel Haba B'mayim Dame Olo. Of course, everybody agrees that the starting point, the ABCs of Hechsher, is that if it comes into contact with a liquid, it's Mukshul HaKabal Tumah. Reish Lakish now is just simply advancing the discussion, meaning that I also know that there's another method of Hechsher, and that's Chibas HaKodesh. And all I want to know is Chibas HaKodesh going to be operating on the same level, or maybe not? So, Rebbe Elazar, mi yisuri kra kamar. So the Gemara says, no, you didn't let Rebbe Elazar finish his point, meaning Rebbe Elazar knows that. Rebbe Elazar now is actually looking at the Pasuk, but looking at the redundancy in the Pasuk, because if you go on in the Pasuk, it says, the Torah then goes on to say that if liquid were to go on to any food, that is an edible food. Meaning the Torah is repeating itself. Why does the Torah have to give us the basic rule of Hechsher two times over? So what Rebbe Elazar wants to do now is construct the following argument. Lamali, why do I need the redundancy? As we turn now to Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Lavla Mutei Chibas HaKodesh. It must be that the redundancy is there to tell us the following. The first time it mentions it, it's to tell us the most basic rules of Hechsher, that it comes into contact with a liquid. And the second time, it's there to tell us that only when it comes into contact with a liquid does it follow the regular rules of Tumah Tahara. If it is Mukshur through any other means and mechanism, i.e. Chibas HaKodesh, and as we're going to be discussing in just a little bit from now, Shechita according to Rabbi Shimon, right? These are the unusual ways of creating Hechsher, so then they're not going to be following the regular rules of Tumah Tahara, meaning that we're not going to be counting Rishon and Sheni. So the Gemara says, nope, even after I've heard Rav Elazar's point, the Gemara says, I could still disagree. Lo. Chad b'tumas mitzvah, chad b'tumas sharis. You know why the Torah has to repeat itself regarding the rules of Hechsher? Because the Torah has to tell us that there's Hechsher Tumah vis-a-vis sharis, and there's Hechsher Tumah vis-a-vis mace. And if the Torah had not given me both of those points, I wouldn't necessarily have known one without the other. And Gemara goes on to explain the necessity of both points. Utsricha. Look, if the Torah would have only taught us about Tumas Meis, how much human remains do you need in order for there to be Tuma to be emanated? So you need a kezais. You need a full olive volume of human remains in order for there to be Tumas Meis. Masha'en came when it comes to sherets. Do you know how many sherets you need?
Just one.
You know, you need not only one of sherets, even just an adasha, even a lentil size of the sherets would go about and bring about tumah. That would be an avatuma. So one can make the argument, oh, you see, the Torah doesn't really even care how much, meaning the Torah gives only but the smallest size for a sherets. So the argument could be made by mace where I need a full kezias. Okay, so for the food to become tumah, I need heksher. But for sherets, all you need is just but an adasha, so maybe the tumma will transmit even without hechsher. That's one direction. We can also work in the other direction as well. And if all I had was sherets, I would have said as follows. Yeah, by sherets, you know what the halacha would have been, that in order for the sherets to transmit tumma over to a food, you need hechsher. Why? Because what kind of tumah we're talking about? It's a mild tumah. Mild meaning you tovel in the mikvah, you wait for Harav Shemesh, and you're good to go. Masha'en came by tumas mace, exposure to tumas mace. You have to wait 7 days, and that's only with the paraduma. So in other words, the tumah is so severe, you're going to be tummy for 7 days. And so therefore, one might have thought that for a food to become tummy, because the severity of the tumah is so severe, that maybe the food is going to become tame even without hechsher. Good. So tzricha, so therefore both points are needed. So again, now what do we have on the table? A discussion regarding when food undergoes a unusual hechsher. I say unusual, I mean standard hechsher is with a liquid. If you're now talking about an unusual hechsher like chibas hakodesh, so do we now count it off as the regular tuma, rishon, sheni, shlishi, revi by kodesh? Right, that was the question we had regarding mincha. Or no, do we just simply say that it provides enough heksher so that it becomes tameh, but it does not transmit the tumah on from that point for going forward, and it doesn't subscribe to the regular rules of tumah tahara? That's the question on the table. The Gemara now seeks to clarify. Mesiv, Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon Amar, Huchshara b'shchita. Huchshara ve'afil lemimne b'hu risha v'sheni. Now, what's another form of an unusual heksher? Shchita for Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when you shecht an animal, you are going to give it, you're going to make it mukshul akapatoma, meaning the act of shechita. So for Rabbi Shimon, now we have another way in which heksher can be created other than mashkim, and that is the act of shechita. I would be remiss at this point in time if I didn't mention, I should have mentioned in the beginning of Shir today. I kind of alluded to it, but now that I have an opportunity, I'll show you the Rashi inside. Why, according to Rabbi Shimon, is shechita machshir? No, we're talking about even chulin. Yeah. So why according to Rabbi Shimon is shechita going to be a machshir? So there is a very, very short Rashi at the beginning of the whole sugya this morning, which I didn't read inside, and I don't want to miss the opportunity. If you go back to the beginning of our daf today, and Rashi on Lamed Hamad Beis writes off shechita, hechid delek adam even when there's no blood. Olam ki ika dam nami machshir says Rashi. No, that's not the Rashi that I wanted to read. Sorry. Shechita machshir. Go back up a couple of Rashi's earlier than that. Es habasal tuma de mashve le uchla. Because what you do is you make it now edible. Prior to the shechita was inedible. With the shechita now it's edible. Making food edible is really the yisod of machshir. Now Rashi says that. Tosos elaborates just but a little bit. But it's good. Shechita machshir is velo dam. Rashi v'taima mishum. In other words, shechita is the mechanism in which you're making now this meat edible. So prior to the shechita, it's inedible. Now with the shechita, it's edible. So shechita serves as a machshir. Just like, in other words, liquid. Why is liquid a machshir? Because prior to you washing the food's inedible. And after you're washing the food, the food now is edible.
What about cooking? Then cooking should be machshir
also. Okay, right. Okay. I hear I'm right now. I'm just quoting the sources. So that is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon regarding shechita being a machshir. Obviously, by the way, the chachamim don't agree. Meaning, the chachamim will tell you, no, you know what's a machshir? Mashkim is a machshir, but not shechita. Meaning, they don't subscribe to such an argument. By the way, I could add to the point. I mean, Rashi and Tosfos don't say this. So I'm flying solo right now. But you could also say that Rabbi Shimon is always seeking time of dekra, right, meaning Rabbi Shimon is always looking for the rationale behind it. And so if he finds the rationale behind the, if he understands the yisod of why liquids is a machshir, so over here as well, so shchita also is a machshir. But then we run into your problem, which is, so once you have the rationale, so where do you stop? Like, in other words, where does reason and rationale take you to? Okay, good.
Where is the source that it has to be desirable?
Yeah. It's the same basic point. Yeah, okay, good. Okay.
What is the source that has to be desirable?
The Gemara bases it on a drasha. Say, right? The Torah says ki yutan, and we could read a ki yitain, so it has to be in a way in which you desire it. Okay, the Gemara has a drasha for that. Okay. Mesiv Rav Yosef. Let's just do a little bit more for this morning. So Mesiv Rav Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Amar Hukshur B'Shchit, Hukshur V'Afila Mimnei B'Rishim V'Sheni. Amai V'Halav Ochel Haba B'Mayim Hu. So this is, again, an unconventional Hekshur, because it's not done through Mashkin, it's done, according to Rabbi Shimon, through the act of Shechita. So Amar Le Abaye Asu Kehekshur Mayim Midrabanan. So Abaye says, okay, you know, over there, it's true that when you shecht an animal, according to Rabbi Shimon now, the animal is Mukshur L'Kabel Tumah, and it's through the act of Shechita, and it's not conventional. I give you all that. But even though we're going to be giving it the regular rules of Tumah, which is Rishon, Sheni, etc., that's only on a rabbinic level. Meaning, min ha-Torah, it is mukshar, but only for psul. Only so that if it comes into contact with Tumah, it will be disqualified. But not to follow the regular rules of Rishon and Sheni. The Brisa says we are counting the Rishon and Sheni, that's only on a level of Derabanan, that's not min ha-Torah. Okay. Where do we stand right now? It'd be better if we finished, obviously, but where we stand right now is that we're in the middle of the Gemara's discussion. We know now that when you food is mukshul kabel tumah through the regular method of mashke, the zayin mashkin, so then the food now will become tummy through the regular rules of rishon, sheni, etc. What if it becomes now mukshul through unconventional methods? And right now there are two that are on the discussion of the Gemara. One is Chibas HaKodesh, and the other is Shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon. So are we going to be following the regular rules of Tumah? So right now we're in the middle of the Gemara's discussion. We're going to conclude the discussion tomorrow. If I can give you like a little bit of a brain teaser. Yeah. I know, but Rabbi Kornfeld writes this up in one of his pieces. So he notes that there are seven liquids, and we also know that over the course of the year there are seven yantifs, including the Derabanan yantifs, right? Chanukah and Purim. So it's a fun game to play. It's not a game. It's right. Rabbi Kornfeld feels that this is, you know, a part of Torah, and that is that if you can try to correspond the seven liquids to the seven yamim tovim, including the Derabanan, okay, write up the list, and I'll show you what Rabbi Kornfeld said tomorrow.